This morning and open with me to Philippians chapter 2, where we left off last week. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to be looking at two verses today, 17 and 18. Now, I've entitled today's message, A Life of Sacrifice. The longer I live, and I'm getting longer than I was before, but the longer I live, the more I realize you only get what you sacrifice for. You only see what you're willing to give up to accomplish. But more so than ever in our spiritual walk, the more we give up of ourselves, the more we turn over of ourselves to God, the more He inhabits us, and the more that He uses us, the more that He speaks through us and to us. And Paul, as he was speaking to the church and writing to the church at Philippi, just is reminding them, because last week we talked about he had warned them to not have quarreling and arguing among them, and those things come because of the selfish nature that's within us, right? We all understand that. So today he's going to take the next step in that and talk about living a life of sacrifice, of truly offering yourself up on the altar of your spiritual life to God so that He can not only give us life, that He can live His life through us. And so we're going to begin reading in verses 17 and 18. In fact, let me just back up. We'll get a running start again. I always like to do that. Let's start in verse 14. He says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved world and generation in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing." Now, starting today, "But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice." Father, I pray that you will bring your word to life in us this morning, that by your Holy Spirit's empowerment, Lord, we will understand what it is you're saying to each one of us. Lord, whether we're here physically or watching online, listening, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be speaking to all of us, including myself this morning, allowing us to hear from you. Lord, there's no greater thing we want today than to hear from you. And I know there's no greater thing that you want is for us to hear it and then to do what you've called us to do. And I pray that'll be us, Lord. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. A life of sacrifice. Well, a lot of the things that are listed in Scripture are pictures of, especially in the New Testament, pictures of things that were going on in the Old Testament. We all know about the tabernacle and then ultimately the temple where sacrifice was made. And people would bring their offerings and sacrifice those, allow the priest to take them and to put them on the altar, and they would sacrifice those things. This word sacrifice literally means to give of something that you have, give up possession of it. Now, I don't know about you, but when God comes to us and He calls for us to follow Him and we choose to call Him Lord, that means He's boss and we're not. That means I've given up what I desire to follow what He desires for me. This picture continues on in the New Testament, and certainly through what Paul is talking about right here as an act of sacrifice, pouring out ourselves. He says like a drink offering, pouring out ourselves. The word poured out is spendomai, which is used only twice in the New Testament, by the way. It comes from the root word spent. Now, we all know what that means because we spent our money and we don't have it anymore, right? And it seems like it's going faster even now. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. Paul was talking, writing to Timothy in this letter, in that letter to Timothy, and he's saying, look, I've been poured out. You know, everything I have, God's used me. He has spoken through me. He has taught through me. He has encouraged through me. And I've been poured out like a drink offering. Everything that I used to be is gone. And it's Him that's now living in me. And so this life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. He's saying, listen, the things I used to have don't matter anymore. They're rubbish. And so to Timothy, he's saying, listen, I'm poured out like a drink offering at the time. And I realize and understand that my time for departure is near. Listen, folks, every single one of us should know this. We're not going to live forever on this earth. And you might say, oh, that's terrible. No, I say praise God. Because when I don't live anymore on this earth, I'm going to be in the presence of God in His place that He's made for me. And I look forward to that day. He says, I've been poured out. I've been spent. When you spend something, you have it no longer, right? When you pour out a drink, it's no longer there. That's the picture here of us. When God calls us to be His followers, when God calls us to be His new creations, He's asking us to pour out the old and allow Him to fill us with the new. What a picture of what God desires of us, to pour ourselves out, not so we'll remain empty, but so that He can fill us up with Himself. I have an old plastic jug in my house that I fill up with water every single day, and I carry it out and I pour it into the water bowl so that my dog will have water to drink, right? But he depends on me bringing that water. He doesn't have any thumbs. He can't pick up a jug. He can't turn on the faucet. He depends on that water. And in the same way, God is depending on us to pour out ourselves so that He can fill us up. He's not going to mandatorily do this. He's not going to come in and force you to do anything. That's not the way God works. God is looking for vessels. God is looking for cups. God is looking for bottles. He's looking for people that He can fill up. And the only ones He's going to fill up are the ones who have allowed themselves to be poured out. You see that picture? It's an act of your will, by the way. We must choose to do this. It doesn't just happen. We don't have a leak and just that ourselves just kind of leaks out of. We have to choose to do this. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, He said to all of His disciples, whoever wants to be My disciple must what? Deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. In other words, to get rid of all the things that you desire, all the things that motivate you, all the things that you think are so important, you got to get rid of those things as if you were crucified. Put to death those things in your life that do not please Me, so that you can then follow Me every single day. Now, I think one of the greatest words in that whole passage right there is we got to do this daily. What we did yesterday is not going to really help us today. Every single day, because we still have that sin nature that's resident in us, every single day we've got to consecrate ourselves to what God has called us to be, His people, and say, Lord, I don't want what I want today. I want what You want. Help my desires be Your desires, Lord. Everything that You have for me to do today is what I want to do today. You know, we're really good about making to-do lists and agendas and all the things that we think that we need to get accomplished. But the fact is that what we really ought to do is say, God, what is Your agenda for my life today? And does it include any of these things that I've written down? Because if it doesn't, I'm going to scratch them off. Wait a minute. Aren't those really important? Aren't those things you have to do? I don't have to do anything. What I choose to do is follow Christ today. What I choose to do is to be open and available to Him. That's what Paul's saying. He says, this is what I'm asking you to do. Pour out yourself so that God can fill you up with Himself. And then he makes this reference. I'm being poured out like a drink offering. Even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering. This picture is first pictured in Numbers chapter 15, verse 5. It says, with each lamb for the burnt offering or the sacrifice, prepare a quarter of a hin of wine as a drink offering. And this drink offering would be poured out on the altar. And once the drink offering is poured out, the cup is empty. The cup is empty. God's saying, pour yourself out. Be empty so that I can come and completely fill you up. And Paul's saying, that's what I'm doing. I'm pouring myself out as a drink offering. In the tabernacle, in the temple, the first thing after the gate that leads in to the temple itself, and the gate was always a picture of Jesus, because the only way we get to the Father is through Jesus, by the way. And Jesus said, I am the gate. So the very first thing after the gate is the place of sacrifice, the brazen altar. And it's at that place that people would bring their offerings that day. The picture here is that just as a lamb is sacrificed, and the drink offering is a picture of our sacrifice of ourselves. God's not asking us to climb up on a traditional altar, set ourselves on fire, and burn up. That's not what he's asking us to do. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, well, man, have you seen Wayne? He's on fire for the Lord. No, that's not what we're talking about. He didn't set himself on fire. He's filled with God's power. But God is calling us to pour ourselves out, to get out of the way, so to speak. The picture here is just as a lamb is sacrificed, the drink offering is a picture of our sacrifice of ourselves. This offering is spoken of, by the way, as Paul is writing to the church at Rome. He mentions these things to multiple different congregations because these are all the truth of God. And says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves up as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. It is your true and proper worship. In other words, Paul's saying to the church at Rome, listen, we can't go on doing everything that we want to do and be used by God. Why? Because we get in the way. We tend to do what we want to do. And it's only at the point of self-sacrifice that God will say, now I have the ability to use you in a way that I can speak to other people. I can move in your life. And so we have to ask ourselves the question. And this is a constant question. Have we really poured ourselves out unto the Lord? Every day. Just like we said back in Luke 9:23, take up your cross daily and follow Him. I remember this illustration of a young girl. Her name was Maria Dyer, and she was born in 1837. She was born to missionary parents who were serving in China. They were two of the first pioneer missionaries that went to China to begin to spread the gospel. Both of her parents actually died when Maria was a little girl, and then she was sent back to England to be raised by an uncle. The loss of her parents, however, did not deter her young heart from the importance of sharing the gospel that she had learned from her parents. At age 16, she, along with her sister, returned to China to work in a girls' school as a missionary. 5 years later, she married Hudson Taylor. You might recognize that name as a great missionary as well to China. He was well known for his life of ministry, faith, and sacrifice. Hudson and Maria's work was often criticized, even by other Christians. At one point, Maria wrote, as to the harsh judgings of this world or the more painful misunderstandings of Christian brethren, I generally feel that the best plan is to go on with the work and leave God to vindicate our cause. Of their 9 children, only 4 survived adulthood. Maria herself died of cholera when she was just 43. But she believed the cause was worthy of the sacrifice. On her grave marker, these words are inscribed, "For her to live was Christ, and to die was gain." In a day when many are self-absorbed and care more about what they can get rather than what they could give, we need a renewal of sacrificial love. It was God's love for us that sent Jesus into this world to die for our sins. It is that kind of giving love that our world needs so greatly today. When we love God as we should, our interests begin to fade and we begin to magnify Him. Isn't that the truth? And yet, where are those kinds of people today? Because it seems, if you just look at most people around us, all that really matters is what they can do, what they can get, where they can go, how they can achieve, how they can race to the top, what they can get out of today. God is not calling us to do that. He's calling us to die to ourselves and be alive unto Him. And so then Paul goes on in the second part of verse 17. He says, "Even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service." On the sacrifice and service. The altar of sacrifice. You see, after you go through the gate, there's the altar. And they would take the animal, give it to the priest, and the priest would take that animal and place it on the altar. The faith of the Philippians, who were also persecuted for their faith, was an altar of sacrifice for them. Because living in Philippi was not an easy thing if you were a Christian. Have you ever noticed that it's not always an easy thing for us as well to be a Christian around a lot of other people? But we have nothing in the effect and the magnitude of many people in this world who have to die for their faith. But these Philippians, these people in Philippi were persecuted for their faith. Their sacrifice and service literally comes from the Greek phrase tousia kai lutupia, which means the victim of public service. In other words, when people saw these people, they wouldn't just say, "Oh, there's a bunch of Christians. They think they're better than us," like people today might say about us. They were actually put to death for their faith. They were scorned for their faith. They were taken to court for their faith. They were ostracized. They were put down. Folks, we don't even comprehend in this day and time how hard it was for them to stand up for their faith. And Paul is saying, listen, the only way, look, I'm in jail. I'm writing you from jail. I will probably be put to death. Which he was, by the way. He said, it will cost me my physical life, but for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. Listen, I'm telling you, it is worth everything that you can do to allow God to live in you rather than you trying to live your life on your own. It's worth the sacrifice. And faith is the key. Now, a lot of people might still struggle with this word faith. Faith, what is really faith? What does it really mean? Well, Hebrews chapter 11 kind of puts it into perspective for me. It's a verse that tells us that faith is doing more than just believing something. Faith is something that even though we might not be able to see it, it's something that we should do. I think we have that on, will you pull that up, Wayne? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 there. Should be on the next. It's clear over. I can read it from here, from this passage. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says it like this. "And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe and that He exists and believe that He rewards those. You see, faith is the key. We've got to truly believe that what God says He will do. Do you believe that what God says He will do? Before you just say yes or amen, do we live like we believe that what God says He will do? That's really where the rubber meets the road. You see, there's nothing else acceptable to God than faith. We have to trust Him as our Savior. We have to trust Him for our salvation. Faith is the key. Without anything else, we've got to trust Him. Everything we sacrifice has to be sacrificed on the altar of our faith. Now, there's a lot of religious people in the world who do a lot of religious things, thinking that doing those religious things are somehow going to bring them salvation. Doesn't happen that way. Salvation comes only through Jesus Christ our Lord, and by faith in Him. And once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then He, by the Holy Spirit, starts to indwell you and starts to want to work through you and starts to want to speak through you and starts to want to lead you where you should go and to say what you should say. And as you do that, He is manifested through us. He is the one who speaks. He is the one who leads. He is the one who draws. His Holy Spirit convicts. His Holy Spirit does what He needs to do. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Everything we sacrifice is on this altar of faith. Now, faith is the confidence that we have and the hope for, the assurance and assurance about what we do not see. In other words, we are confident in the fact that what God says is right, is true. Now, I wasn't there personally when Jesus died on the cross. Didn't get to see that. Really, only a few people out of all the billions of people that have lived were there to see that. Only a few people that were there then got to see Jesus raised from the dead. Only a few people got to hear Him as He spoke on the Mount of Olives. Only a few people got to hear the great passages that we have in Matthew chapter 5 through 7 from the Sermon on the Mount. There were a few people there that got to hear it. Only a few people, about 5,000, got to sit down and eat from a multitude out of something that was very small. There were only a few people that actually got to see Jesus. But I can tell you, I believe in Him. Even though I've not yet seen Him with my physical eyes, I have experienced Him. And He lives inside of me by His Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 simply tells us this. We live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by sight. We've got to walk by faith, folks. And He's just encouraging the people at the church of Philippi to do so. To get rid of what we say that's so important that we think we have to see it to then believe it. I heard someone say, a lot of people want to see it and then they'll believe it. But God says, just believe it and then you'll see it. Amen? Because there's a lot of things that as I begin to believe it, I begin to see it. And God produces Himself, manifests Himself in ways that I had not even imagined before. And then thirdly today, in the last part of verse 17 and then verse 18 is the achievement of the sacrifice. He says, on the sacrifice of hers, coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Now let me just tell you something, folks. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I don't know how you can walk around with a sour face and a terrible disposition. Because that is not compatible with what God's doing and who He is. Does it mean everything's always going to be hunky-dory in your life? Absolutely not. In fact, it's probably going to be harder than you expected. But you see, happiness is different than joy. Happiness comes from the word happenstance, which means I'm only happy because of my circumstances. But joy is totally different. He has given us a glad heart. I am glad, Paul says. It's the Greek word kaipal, which means to thrive because of the joy that's within me. Now think about it, folks. This is the same Paul who had been shipwrecked for his faith. He had been beaten for his faith. He had been drug outside the city and stoned to death for his faith. He had been thrown into prison after prison after prison for his faith. Do you think if he was sitting down in his own physical, personal life, he would write out a story of how great life was? No. But that's what he's doing. So how's that possible? Because his life didn't really matter anymore. In fact, he'd said in the letters of the church at Corinth, I count all these things as dung, as rubbish compared to the great knowing of who God is, this relationship with Christ. I count them all like nothing. You know, everything that I thought was important in life was not important at all. The only thing that was important is knowing Him. Knowing Jesus. I'm so glad, he says. This is a picture, this picture is of one who is growing because of the great joy that they have found. Listen, folks, when you found the joy of Jesus in your life, you will begin to grow in all other areas of your life that God wants you to grow in. You will begin, because of that great joy, to be full of His presence and the Spirit of His love and the encouragement and the things that He wants to say through us. You'll say it to other people. I honestly believe one of the reasons that so many Christians feel like it's so hard to witness about Jesus is because they really don't know Jesus. Because once you know Jesus, you want to tell people about Him. I mean, how hard is it to tell somebody about your new baby? If you had a new baby born in your family, or a grandchild for me, I'm excited. I tell people about it. How much more excited should we be when we found Jesus as our Savior and Lord? And how can we not tell people about that? It's the kind of joy that you have when the doctor says there's no more signs of cancer. I mean, that'd thrill you, wouldn't it, if you had cancer and they came in and said, oh, you're clear. You're free to go. That's exactly what happened when Jesus came and took our sin cancer away and gave us a clean bill of health spiritually. Man, I'd be telling everybody if I'd been cured from cancer. How much more should we be telling everybody that I've been cured from the sin that was in my life? Paul says, I have a glad heart. I'm so glad. I rejoice with all of you. He says, my heart is full of joy. I rejoice. And rejoice is the Greek word, soucharyo, which means to take part in someone else's joy. Now, we're always happy when we're happy, full of joy. But when somebody else is real joyful, we're going like, well, you know, we should be happy for them. We should be full of joy, not just happy, but full of joy for them, that God is doing something great in their lives. And we can only do that, by the way, once we're poured out. Because the focus won't be on us, it'll be on somebody else. How often are we so looking at ourselves rather than looking outwardly? Just to be honest, we're pretty selfish people. I'm pretty selfish. I hate to admit that, but sometimes I'm pretty selfish. I want what I want. And then I have to realize, that's not really what I want. I want what God wants. And I have to confess my sin, and I have to get right with God, and I have to ask Him to cleanse me of that mindset that makes me want to do what I want to do rather than what He wants me to do. Folks, I want to tell you, you will find your greatest joy when you find your service to others. when you give out of the abundance of what God has done in your life. No matter what that is. It could be cooking men's breakfast. It could be taking food to shut-ins. It could be visiting the nursing home. It could be all kinds of things. It doesn't have to be teaching a Sunday school class, but I'm sure glad that we have people who do that. We have someone who constantly is here taking care of our children during church time. We have people who are willing to serve because it's not about them, it's about Him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. I'm going to close with this verse this morning. The writer of Hebrews says it this way. We fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the author or pioneer and perfecter of the faith. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now listen to me, folks. This is the picture of what Paul was saying, poured out as a drink offering. You see, Jesus was God. He didn't have to do any of this. Did not have to do any of this. He didn't have to take on the form of a human. He didn't have to be born in a stable. He didn't have to be raised in the home that He was raised in. He didn't have to go and call 12 men to follow Him. He didn't have to go from town to town and be scorned and pushed out of town because people didn't want to hear Him. He didn't have to raise people from the dead. He didn't have to make the blind see. He didn't have to feed people who were hungry. He didn't have to cure the lame. He didn't have to do any of that. And He certainly didn't have to crawl up on a cross and allow them to impale Him there after He'd already been beaten with a whip, a cat of nine tails. He didn't have to do any of that. But He chose to do that. Why? Because He wanted His Father to live through Him. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. And Paul says, listen, that's what I want too. For me to live is Christ. Paul didn't say this. Now listen, this is the key. Paul didn't say, for me to live is Paul. I need to be able to say, for me to live is not Rod. It's Christ. I've got to get out of the way. I have to get out of the way so that He can use me. He wants to use every one of us. Every single one of us He wants to use. Are you willing to be used by God? Are you willing to sacrifice yourself and allow Him to be in control? He's Lord. I'm not. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this passage this morning because Paul puts it in such words that it makes it easier for us to understand that he's being poured out like an offering. Getting rid of self allows You to have place in our lives. And Lord, it's the hardest struggle that we have because for us, self means self. It's me. It's who I am. It's my identity. It's what I want. It's where I'm going. It's what I think I need. But we have to die to self so that You can live through us. Father, I pray this morning in a very special way that You will speak to every person who is hearing this message and that, Lord, You will speak to all of us about this very fact of getting out of Your way, being crucified daily, and following You. Staying in Your presence, abiding in You, not so consumed with what I think I need and what I think I want, and what I think is important, but instead seeking Your face, Your kingdom, and Your righteousness. And then all these things will be added to us as well. Lord, I pray that for those who call themselves Christians, we will do a self-inventory and make sure that it's not self that's in charge right now, but it's You who lives within us. Help us to get out of the driver's seat. Help us to give up our wills and our emotions and all the things, Lord, that so easily entangle us. And help us to walk in You this morning. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. This altar is open. If you're listening online, of course, you know that you can do it right there where you are. But I would encourage anyone who maybe has claimed themselves to be a Christian but knows for sure that they've truly never given their life to Jesus, you could do that today right where you are. You could just trust Him. You could call upon His name. You could ask Him to forgive you, to come into your life, and sacrifice yourself on the altar to Him. And He will receive you, and He will fill you, and He will use you for His good and for His glory. Maybe you've done that in the past, but it's so easy to get sidetracked, and it's so easy to begin to follow your own desires, as it is for most people. But I would encourage you on a daily basis to be reminded that you are a drink offering that is poured out upon the altar, so that the Holy Spirit can completely fill you up and you can listen to the desires God has for your life. And you can go and do and say everything that He has for you, rather than be consumed by your own desires. Paul gets heavily into that in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. And he encourages the church at Ephesus with the same things, to take off the old self and to put on the new self. Lord, I pray You would encourage us in this walk every single day that You give us to be reminded to pour ourselves out and allow You to fill us up. During this hymn of invitation, if God is speaking to your heart, I'll be here at the front. If you'd like to give your life to Christ, I'd love to help you in that, to explain it to you. If you're looking for a church home and you feel like this is a place that God has led you, we'd love to have you. But the most important thing is to know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, no matter where you are in your life. And so we're going to stand and we're going to begin to sing this hymn of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to come.